Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm your host, Cynthia Fuller, and my guest today is Jed Crasher, County Council member. And just the other day, Jed talked about briefly about the red light cameras in Albany, and I'd like to go into more detail about it. So, Jed, I read in the paper that the mayor was saying it was never a revenue maker, but it was a safety issue. Well, if it wasn't a revenue maker, then why did she put that projected money into the budget?
Right, that's just it, Cynthia. Back in 2014, during the 2015 budget process, the red light camera legislation to actually authorize the use of red light cameras was introduced during the 2015 budget process. So it was, and in addition to that, part of the mayor's budget, as far as revenue, as you mentioned, had the $2 million of revenue in there from it. So there's that piece, which that information alone makes it crystal clear, I think, in most people's eyes, that this is also about revenue. But then I reminded myself of a news story back in 2014 about red light cameras and red light camera revenue in the budget on Channel 6. And the mayor was very clear. She said that she felt it was a better use of quote-unquote resources to get money from people running red lights than it was to lay people off or cut services. So clearly, at least at that point in time, the mayor was considering laying people off and or cutting services and wanted to use the $2 million instead from red light camera revenue. Mm-hmm. So obviously it was about revenue. I think it is totally disingenuous for the administration to say that it was never about revenue. I also think it is totally disingenuous when the administration is saying now, $3.9 million later, after receiving none of that $3.9 million in budgeted red light camera revenue, that they're basically okay with that, that this was always about safety, and we're fine with not receiving any money from it. Nonsense. The mayor herself, in her own words in 2014, essentially said to the Common Council, authorize the use of red light cameras or I'm going to lay people off or cut services. So, of course, it was about revenue. It was about revenue then, and it's about revenue now.
Now, when you first read it or heard about it, that she considered it a safety issue and not a revenue-making proposition, what was your first reaction, and what was the reaction of other people on the board, plus people you have spoken to?
On the council?
Yes, I'm sorry.
There were some of us who, like me, were saying nonsense. Of course this is about revenue. Is there some motivation of public safety? Oh, sure, yes, okay. But if the motivation was purely public safety, then the 2015 budget and 2016 budget wouldn't have been in part balanced by using revenues from red light camera citations. And so here we are today where, as I said, $2.9 million was projected to be raised in 2015, and $1.9 million was projected to be raised this year. We're also on track to get absolutely nothing from that. Is gross irresponsibility when it comes to budgetary practices. And I say that because there's this other non-truthful statement being made that the initial figure of $2 million came from a good faith conversation with our current vendor, which is called Gatso, and done with an analysis with Gatso. That is absolutely false. What the reality is, the unquestionable reality is that the $2 million figure, that initial $2 million figure, came from a red light camera company vendor from a different vendor called American Traffic Solutions, also known as APS. I have the email from it. It was mentioned during council meetings. It came from a lobbyist. And for the mayor and her budget team to take an estimate from somebody who has a vested interest in seeing red light cameras in the city of Albany, to put that in the budget is absolutely irresponsible and wrong. You know, and then you had folks on the county council like Leah Goldie. Leah Goldie said on numerous occasions on TV and on the floor of the common council that it shouldn't be an issue raising $2 million. And as a matter of fact, it's probably a conservative estimate given her own observations of people running red lights. And there lies a problem with Leah Goldie's analysis, her championing of this red light camera ordinance, and moreover, more importantly, basing public policy decisions and budget analysis on anecdotal information. To say, I mean, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even like we got $1 million. It wasn't even like we got a quarter of that $2 million. It was nothing. That isn't a mistake. That isn't being off a little bit. That is a colossal screw-up. And it happened 2 years in a row. So now the administration is trying to scramble and distract people from their irresponsibility by saying that, well, it was always about safety. And here are some numbers that prove that. Well, the numbers that we've been showing so far and the public has been showing so far from a statistical standpoint are totally not significant. From a public policy standpoint, totally do not say with any degree of certainty that red light cameras are the cause for a reduction in traffic accidents at intersections where there are red light cameras. So this right now is sort of this new rhetoric that's being spread around by the administration. But we know what the reality is that $3.9 million later, we've received none of it. We know that the mayor made threats of layoffs, threats of cutting services if the Common Council did not authorize the use of red light cameras and therefore not authorize that $2 million revenue line. It is unfortunate that the mayor's office will not just own up to the fact that they used an estimate from the lobbyist, that they never should have done that, and that they're never going to do it again.
You know, I look at the Facebook feed, and I have a number of council members that I'm Facebook friends with, but it seems like you're the only person, maybe Frank a few times, Frank Camisso, will make critical or important statements about what's going on in City Hall. Mm-hmm. Since you're practically a lone wolf on the council, what has the reaction from the administration plus your fellow council members? Do you get the cold shoulder? Are they hostile to you? Are they friendly to you? What's your relationship with the administration and your colleagues on the council?
You know, you raise a very interesting question because I remember getting elected. I'll never forget it. A very important time in my life and obviously an honor, something that I appreciate every single day that I'm a council member. And during campaigning, I very much supported then-treasurer Kathy Sheehan for mayor, collected signatures, handed out lit, so forth, introduced her at events, and had relationships with those on the council that are viewed as the sort of progressive wing. I'm very much, and to this day, identifying myself as a progressive liberal Democrat. So I think there was an expectation on the part of now Mayor Sheehan and her allies that I would be a rubber stamp, ditto marked. And I think many of those individuals on the council are and were disappointed, to say the least, when they realized that I wasn't going to be a rubber stamp, and not just a rubber stamp, but somebody who was willing to stand out, stand up, speak out on issues that I felt the administration were really incorrect on. And obviously I do that to this day. So you have this, and what I think I learned pretty quickly too, more broadly in Albany politics, is that there is this false dichotomy that was built by anti-Jerry Jennings people. And that dichotomy being you have Democrats in the city of Albany who are progressive, and then you have Democrats in the city of Albany who are the progressives. And that progressive wing was the anti-Jerry Jennings wing, largely. And they got somebody in. They got somebody in as mayor, Kathy Sheehan. The reality is, though, in working with Frank Commisso, in working with Ron Bailey, in working with non-elected officials who aren't considered progressive by people like the RFK Democratic Club, what you realize is that issues, take labor, for example, organized labor, which is such a central tenet to traditional Democratic Party politics, what you see is significant overlap in what issues are cared about from these from the progressive and so-called non-progressive wings of the Democratic Party in Albany. And then I saw a lot of disingenuous progressive behavior, let's call it, from self-described progressives in the council, where resolutions were introduced that had no impact in law, they had no force of law, they had no real weight except they were symbolic. For example, passing resolutions opposing oil pipelines, which certainly is an important issue, but as a local legislative body, we have absolutely no say over, virtually no say over, in most cases, absolutely no say. But when it comes to things like a trash tax, where it so blatantly impacts low-income individuals who are renters, supporting that, so never speaking out when we hear about individuals from the water department and employees came to speak about issues they were having with their working conditions, to not support our 911 dispatchers in seeking a modest raise, to stay silent while 11 of our bargaining units go without a contract. Those are not progressive. In many cases, those are downright Republican ways of doing business in politics. So it's been quite a learning experience. So that's the long answer. And I think a lot of those individuals on the council are very upset and disappointed that I didn't end up being the ditto mark and rubber stamp that they were hoping I would be. And as we know now, speak out when I feel like there's an issue that needs to be addressed. And not to say this is, a very common way for dissent to be dismissed. Well, you're just saying no to say no. And that's just not the case. And my record speaks for that. Whether you're talking about red light cameras or the Palace Theater or
the trash.
These are very important issues facing our city. And yes, I have taken very strong positions on all of those issues. But we need that in government. So that's the bottom line, Cynthia, I think.
Okay. Now, you use the phrase rubber stamp. There's a number of council people who are rubber stamps.
Yes.
But they were, you know, college-educated people. They've mm-hmm. got to see things a little more clearly. When an issue like the trash tax that will hurt people, you know, the tenants, and people came up, you know, at that meeting and they were speaking against it. And when it came time to vote,
mm-hmm.
the council members voted in favor of the mayor. And, you
yeah.
know, you're the only person speaking up about the red light cameras, and there's not many people up questioning the fact that Kathy Sheehan is on the board of directors for the palace as well as the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Your other council members have to understand that. Why are they not speaking
sure.
up?
I don't know. I simply don't know. I don't. It is worrisome. You know, it's interesting because when I raise an objection or when Commisso raises an objection, offers an idea that shakes up the administration, the mayor's allies, particularly Richard Conte, Kathy Fahey, Leah Golby, will dismiss our behavior as political. They're just being political. They have a political agenda. Yet what's fascinating to me is that if you tally up the votes from January 1 of 2014 to today, you'll see that people like Frank, people like me, people like Mark Robinson vote with Richard Conte, therefore vote the way the mayor wants, in the area of 70-85 at least percent of the time in voting the way Richard Conte does. And Richard doesn't do anything that deviates away from the mayor. So it's these issues, these larger matters where often we have different ideas, right? But that's struck down as political by them. On the flip side, though, is it not hyper-political, the height of political behavior, when you as a council member vote with the mayor 99.9% of the time? That's political behavior. Exactly the point that you're raising. These are valid questions to bring up. You bring up the mayor serving on the board of directors of the Palace Theater. Cynthia, of course that's a valid issue. I think any independent observer would say, yeah, that smells a little fishy. That something's not right about that. So in reality, for the council majority to not say anything about it, I would very much say that that's political behavior. When you're not willing to ask the tough questions, when you're not willing to go against the grain, especially when it matters the most, that's really political. Because it clearly seems to me that they're in a defensive pattern to protect one person, and that's Mayor Sheehan. And that's not why you're in office. That's not why you should be a council member. But it does seem to be the case.
I grew up on Long Island, and I moved up to the Capital District in 1981. And, you know, ever since I was a kid, I knew that Albany was the capital of the state of New York. And
mm-hmm.
over the past few years, when I look at what's going on, I'm totally shocked that
yeah.
this city is in such disrepair, and you
mm-hmm.
and a handful of other people are the only ones that stand up and say, this is not right. This should not be done this way. And it just aggravates me that other people who are supposed to be representing the citizens of this city.
It's going to be, as we all know, every single office is up for election next year in 2017, from the mayor all the way to every single council office, treasurer, auditor. And we do need, you know, I know people say it's a buzzword in politics, but there's no other word to use. It's the most appropriate word. We do need change, real, meaningful change in the city from top to bottom. And the fact that, you know, you have Frank Commisso, who I hope, I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope is running for mayor. But, you know, Frank has legislation that he has introduced that would take away some of the authority of the mayor's office. So, for example, contract approval, giving more power to the council to sign off on contracts. You know, that is, I think, very very admirable, because you have somebody who clearly has an interest in higher office, perhaps even the mayor's office, and supporting policies that, if indeed he was sitting in the mayor's chair, he wouldn't have as much power as mayor, certainly still a significant amount. But understanding the importance of checks and balances, understanding the importance of an independent council, those are really admirable traits, I think, in any elected official, to understand that it's governing is more about, way more about a single individual. It's about making the system work for everybody. And I think we can all say, just about all of us, unless you're really well-connected or wealthy around here, you can say the system in the city of Albany doesn't work right.
So the budget is coming up shortly. It's coming up in October, correct? Judd?
Yeah, I'm here, yep.
Okay, the budget is coming up in October. And there's been controversy now with the mayor and, you know, her stance on the red light cameras. Will there be any more? As you know right now, will there be any more money projected in the budget for this issue?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It sounds like no. From what has been said in the media from the mayor's budget director and also Chief Cox, it does seem like they're not going to put any more revenue projections in for red light cameras. And yeah, it's about time. That only makes sense. I did raise this question, though, when I was speaking to a friend of mine, actually. I actually might have brought it up with you, too, Cynthia, is, you know, GATSO, they're not meeting their, I think they're meeting about half, maybe a little bit more, of the lease agreement that they have with the city as far as how much money they're going to get, they're getting from cameras. So I'm just wondering, you know, they're a business, first and foremost. They don't care about the safety of the city of Albany. They could care less. They want to maximize profit. I'm wondering, you know, if they're looking at these numbers and saying, man, Albany is not a sound business investment. This just does not make any sense to continue operating these cameras and expend our human resources in reviewing citations. We're going to pull out of the city of Albany. I would be really interested to see that, because they are making money, but it's not this massive cash cow that in other municipalities where it has been.
And we're not making. The city is not making any money to close the budget gap,
which is
important.
Oh, right? Sure. I mean, that's all I care about. I mean, I could care less if GATSO goes bankrupt. I have no care for GATSO, but certainly, yeah, that's going to be the issue, is that this upcoming budget, all indications are pointing to it being very painful. And look, Cynthia, I know that from day one, this mayor's office said, well, we inherited a financial problem. They said it over and over and over again. Then they could say that legitimately for some time. But now that you have got some budgets under your belt, now that you've created $3.9 million of bogus revenue in red light cameras, $5 million in bogus revenue from the sale of property in Queens, you have this trash tax that's an absolute disgrace. You can't blame the Jennings administration anymore. You can't. You took a bad situation and you made it a hell of a lot worse. And there's consequences. There's going to be consequences for that. There's going to be electoral consequences for that.
So, you know, the budget's coming, and then, you know, the county council races will be gearing up, and the mayor's race will be gearing up. So
yeah.
The next,
and I expect it to be a challenge for treasurer too.
The next 12 months in Albany will be exciting and enlightening for sure.
Yes.
as things unfold in Albany, I would love to have you back on the show to talk about,
sure.
you know where
to find me.
Saga. So you have been listening to town council member Jed Prasher, and I'm focused on Albany. I'm your host, Cynthia Pooler. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, and if you have a comment or criticism about anything that we said today, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Thanks, Jed. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for
listening.
Thank you.